It's Sam Cedar. Introducing whiny ass teeny baby conservatives to the truth. Wow, wow, conservatives. That's you crying. The left just got a little bit louder on The Majority Report.
It is Tuesday, December 21st, 2010. My name is Sam Cedar. This is The Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. Gosh, look, I look around. I see the smiling faces, the joy on the staff here at the Majority Report juggernaut. Everybody's just looking. My Lord, what? Dorsey, are you all right?
Yes. I'm a little tired.
You're a little tired? Yeah. You look not good.
I'm tired. I didn't sleep well last night.
How come?
Well, I don't get more than 4 hours sleep a night to begin with.
And right.
If you have a bad night's sleep, then it's really bad.
Well, you know what happened last night. Are you aware of this? It was the it was the first time in like 400 years, winter solstice, full eclipse of the moon, and a full moon. It was an eclipse and a full moon. Nikki was up, I think, till 3 in the morning.
I saw it.
Showed me a video of it. And it was, the video was not impressive.
It was great in person. I stopped in the middle. I saw somebody kind of filming it when I got out of the train stop. And I was like, oh, yeah, the eclipse. I'll just check it out. And I turned around, and I really couldn't stop looking at it for about, I don't know, 20 minutes. I stood on the street.
What did it look like?
It looked like something out of one of the movies, you know, when, like, you know,
like Harry Met Sally. What movie? What do you mean?
It, you know, like The Omen or something like that. It like turned blood red. It looked like a blood orange. It was kind of creepy, and it was, you know, it didn't stay red. It was kind of like there was clouds floating in front of it. So it was really mesmerizing. It was cool.
All right. Well, I'm glad that ruined your night of sleep.
Maybe that's what did it.
Probably very possible. What happened to you, Evan?
Just, you know,
same old. Well, I'm feeling a little bit low today because net neutrality is gone. Now, I don't know if this is the end of the internet as we know it, or just the beginning of the end of the internet as we know it, or maybe there's a last-ditch effort. We'll be talking to Art Brodsky from Public Knowledge. He will give us the latest. I think the vote either just took place or is taking place now. It is rather sad, folks. Rather sad. This was one of the promises that we heard from Obama. I will go to the mat, or whatever it is that he said. Maybe MAT is an acronym for not gonna do what AT&T doesn't want me to do. I don't know. I should have probably thought that out a little bit more. Folks, just a little house cleaning. I want to thank you if you have become a member of the Majority Report. And I want to ask you, if you haven't, do so now. You get a wonderful show. All the swag is out. Unless you live in Canada, in which case it's going to take a couple more days for us to send it out. But all the swag requests have been fulfilled up to this point. If you've asked, if you haven't asked, send us an email at majorityreporters@gmail.com. Write in the subject line, swag. We will send out your swag. Please become a member if you can. It is your support that makes this show possible. A tough time of the year. I understand that for people to, you know. I mean, it's a tough time. It's a tough time of the year for this. To spend money on entertainment. But look at what you're spending on your cable bill. I got it was an invitation, very like an embossed invitation by Time Warner to sign up for Signature Service, which as far as I could tell did nothing except for just raise my cable bill to like $250 a month. Literally, I couldn't, you'll get a Signature Service. I don't know what that meant, but it just looked like a lot of money. And we're talking about 50 cents a show here. And, of course, also you can support the show by going to justcoffee.coop, buying some coffee or buying some chocolate or tea or hot chocolate, any of the fine products there, putting in the word majority in the coupon code area as you enter the checkout or exit the checkout. And that is a big help for the show. I went and did Citizens Radio last night. That was a lot of fun with those guys. Michael Ian Black was there with Jamie and Mary. But, no. Jamie. Oh, gosh, I can't remember. I'm old, folks. You know, when you go out and you do a show at 9:30 at night. Allison, right. Allison Kilkenny and Jamie Kilstein. 9:30 at night. It starts at 9:30. I was like, oh, my God. I've got to this is when I go to bed. So we're going to be talking to Art Brodsky about net neutrality. In the meantime, now, you may not know this, but apparently last Thursday and Friday in D.C., did it snow there last week? Mm-hmm. Big snowstorm. One of the stories that we didn't hear about was that the Washington, D.C. police arrested 135 protesters. Did you hear anything about this whatsoever?
No.
This is the Afghanistan protest?
Yes.
Yes.
So you did. You heard a little bit about it. Where?
I heard the main protester, this guy who's leading it, it sounded like, on Democracy Now. I thought I played you that audio. It was very
Right.
Yeah, I knew about that. I didn't know they were arrested, though.
Oh, yeah.
No, 135 people were arrested. Wow.
Wasn't the Pentagon Papers guy arrested, too?
Daniel Ellsberg was arrested. Oh, you know what? We have him on the Majority Report now in the archives. We're going through the archives. I'm not going to be here tomorrow or Thursday or Friday. I'll do, but we will have a podcast. We'll be putting up some interviews from the Majority Report, some other little goodies. I think the same will take place on Monday because Monday night I'm doing Olbermann. I will be back Tuesday, even though I'm doing filling in for Keith on Tuesday. I will be back on Wednesday. I'm filling in for Keith on Wednesday. And then maybe we'll take Thursday, Friday off. I don't know. It'll give you a chance to catch up on some podcasts. 135 protesters arrested in Washington, D.C. Ray McGovern, that former CIA analyst. Daniel Ellsberg released the Pentagon Papers. Chris Hedges, who maybe we can get on the – I want to have on the program anyways. He was a former correspondent for the New York Times and a writer of the book I can't remember the name about war. Why We Love War, I can't remember what it is. And
Wait, is that the one, something that war gives us meaning?
War exactly, gives us meaning. Exactly. Yeah. Thank you. My mind is a little cloudy today. But there was virtually no coverage of this protest of the Afghanistan war, and frankly, I would say this is about just war in general, but right now we're obviously engaged in Afghanistan, while we have the majority of Americans who are against this war, reported today in the New York Times, U.S. military seeks to expand raids into Pakistan. Now, it's unclear to me from this story, which is also in and of itself sort of shocking. Maybe I misread the story, but New York Times, U.S. military seeks to expand raids in Pakistan. Senior American military commanders in Afghanistan are pushing for an expanded campaign of special op ground raids across the border into Pakistan tribal areas, a risky strategy reflecting the growing frustration with Pakistan's efforts to root out militants there. The proposal, described by American officials in Washington and Afghanistan, would escalate military activities inside Pakistan. Well, that's fairly obvious, yes. When you send in special ops to on ground raids, yes, it would probably increase military operations. Unless maybe they just send, they have a special band of like dentists who go in and they do free clinics on dental work. The plan has not been approved, but military and political leaders say a renewed sense of urgency has taken hold as the deadline approaches for Obama administration to begin withdrawing its forces from Afghanistan. Well, that suggests to me that things aren't going so well in Afghanistan. What is not clear to me in any of this, I don't know how many words it is, but 5 or 6 page piece in the Times, is whether or not Pakistan has given the okay. Now, I presume that if Pakistan was to give the okay to U.S. forces, they would do it in a private manner, because it would probably not behoove them to be allowing the United States to trample their sovereignty in front of, you know, already a population that they're trying to hold together with tape and bubblegum. But this is just, I mean, I think it's clear at this point that to the extent that we could have ever done anything good for Afghanistan, to the extent that we were ever going to eliminate al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, which I think for the large part we have, apparently there's more of a problem in Yemen. And a recent WikiLeaks cable revealed that there were nuclear materials completely left unguarded in Yemen. Completely left unguarded to the point where, like, some Yemenis official had to contact the Americans to say, like, you know, please, there's something wrong here. Help us. And Yemen's a very bad place for nukes, nuclear material, to be just available for somebody to walk in to a room and pick up and walk away with. But to the extent that we were able to stabilize Afghanistan, to the extent that we were able to provide some stability to rebuild after we let Osama bin Laden go, I think that, and maybe it was always a pipe dream, and that certainly wasn't the reason why we invaded Afghanistan. We invaded Afghanistan because we wanted to get rid of the Taliban and to capture the al-Qaeda elements in Afghanistan. We should have wrapped this war up a long time ago. We should have done it right in the first place, which would have required more ground troops, less aerial bombing, less civilian casualties. But we didn't, because our intellectual government and political leaders are horrible people. I don't know how else to say that. Horrible people. Suck on this. Do we have that? Did I ever put that on the 360? We tried to isolate it, right, to get a good copy, a clean copy of that?
Yeah, we can get a clean copy.
We'll keep looking for that. But, you know, Thomas Friedman, the billionaire. We needed to send our children from Basra to Baghdad, from 2 other places in Iraq. I can't remember what he said, but it's a way of implying that he was an expert. And they need to kick in the doors of Iraqis and hold a gun to them and just say, suck on this. We're going to burst your asymmetric terrorist bubble. Can you imagine the look on the face of an Iraqi civilian sitting there with their terrified children, or an Afghani civilian sitting there holding their children as a U.S. military personnel comes in with a gun and says, we're going to suck on the barrel of this gun. We're going to burst your asymmetrical bubble. The look on their faces, even if they could have it translated into a language that they understood, the look on their faces, oh, you got us. You got us. Honey, I guess it's time to get rid of that asymmetrical terrorist bubble we had in the back. Well, actually, thank you. That's good. We wanted to put a jungle gym in, and now we'll have room for the kids to play without that huge asymmetrical terrorist bubble. Thank you, Thomas Friedman. Next time you're in Karachi getting a rickshaw ride, you can tell them this story. It'll be great. So that's the situation we're in, and
high on a hill was a lonely goat herd, lay, hoodlay, hoodlay.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a minute. We're going to be talking to Art Brodsky of Public Knowledge. Is there something to be salvaged in this net neutrality battle? Vote, we'll see. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Majority Report. I am Sam Cedar. On the phone, Art Brodsky, Communications Director of Public Knowledge. Welcome to the program, Art.
Pleased to be here, Sam.
Now, Art, just give us a brief rundown. What does Public Knowledge do?
We are an advocacy organization here in Washington that generally works to preserve digital rights for people, whether it's on the telecommunications network, on issues like net neutrality, or digital copyright stuff, so you wouldn't have to go to jail if you want to copy some music from your iPod onto your laptop.
Yeah, I thought that was a very evil thing to do, the whole music thing, to actually play it on two different computers. My God. But be that as it may.
I just want you to pay for it.
Right, exactly. All right, be that as it may, let's talk about what took place in terms of net neutrality today. Well, first, let's give some people some background. This is an issue that has been ongoing. There was a court case about a year ago where the FCC attempted to impose some net neutrality rules on the cable providers, on wireless providers. The court struck it down, saying that you didn't have the authority to do this because of a change in the classification of internet providers by the Bush administration FCC. So the current day, the Obama FCC was given an opportunity, changed the classification, changed the rules. Where are they now?
Well, actually, as we speak, the meeting is going on, and FCC Commissioner Copps is speaking. He's the first one up. So if you want to watch at some point the speechifying, you'll be able to do that. Where we are is that, as you say, the Comcast basically got caught slowing down traffic for some of its Internet subscribers. And under the Bush FCC, they drew up a set of Internet principles, and it was unclear whether those principles were enforceable. The former FCC decided to enforce them and made a judgment against Comcast, which then took the case to court and won, saying that the way the FCC drew up its principles, it didn't have the authority to do so.
Now, that's because it was classified under Title I, that these Internet providers were just information providers, as opposed to Title II, which is telecommunication providers.
You're good, Sam. Yeah, I mean, this was the regulatory shell game that the former FCC played in taking a traditional service that connects people from their desktops or Blackberries or whatever to the Internet, and putting in it from a very firm category, this Title II, which protects consumers, has procedures for settling complaints, that kind of thing, into this sort of vague netherworld of the Title I, which is just general FCC authority, and we'll see if we can enforce it depending on what the courts think.
Now, the good news is that Obama came in and he said he was going to absolutely protect net neutrality. He appointed... I can't say his name.
Julius Genachowski.
Thank you. And we're going to have Julius Genachowski undoubtedly came up with a new proposal that really protects net neutrality. In other words, if you're traveling around in your car and you want to check out and see where you're going with Google Maps, you're going to be fine. Nobody's going to throttle usage of Google Maps. Or if you use Netflix, nobody's going to make you pay extra to get that, right? Hold on, I'm sorry. We got a little technical...
A far cry from what we thought they could have done and what many progressive groups, including ours, Free Press, Media Access Project, and others, wanted them to do. The rules are very weak. They are open to great interpretation. They are going to cause a mess at the FCC and in the courts. They do not cover a lot of the wireless activities, which is how many people get online. So this is overall a small first step, but a disappointing one.
Right. I mean, let's be honest. This is a complete snow job in a way. I mean, from my perspective, I mean, the idea that wireless wouldn't be included in this is it's almost like saying, well, you know what? We're going to regulate telephone usage, but only ones that are corded to the wall. Well, you know, in 3 years, there's not going to be much wired internet, really.
Well, we could disagree on that because wireless capabilities aren't up to wired, but your point is well taken. As our president, G.G. Sohn, has said, mean, this reflects the influence of one company, AT&T, on the FCC proceedings. And they were more interested in keeping AT&T on board, frankly, than they were in trying to satisfy the arguments of those of us in the progressive community who are trying to get them to do much stronger rules.
Well, it's not just the progressive community, is it? Conservatives certainly, like anybody who is intimately involved in using the internet, must surely be basically on the same side in this issue. I mean, people who use the internet on a regular basis, I think are probably aligned on this. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, in the first place, don't call me Shirley. But in the second place. I'll be here all week. Thank you very much. What you have is you have a few enlightened conservatives who recognize the value of open speech. But more than likely, you will get hysteria from the right wing talking about a, quote, government takeover of the Internet. And that is the meme that they have been spreading.
Right.
In fact, FCC Commissioner McDowell is speaking right now about that, about how the FCC doesn't have the authority, they shouldn't have to do it, they don't have the authority to do it, and government should stay out. So that is their predominant meme.
That is pretty astonishing, because correct me if I'm wrong, but the government developed what we now call the internet. It's the government that allows for crossing state lines and all these sort of delivery mechanisms. I mean, is there even a part of the internet that wasn't a function of government action?
Well, when government started it was just basically a data network, and then in the early 1990s they allowed commercialization, and that's when everything started developing into the internet that we know today. And what the conservatives sometimes forget is that when the internet started developing in the late 90s and the early part of the 2000s, it was all under regulation. The parts of the telecommunications service from, say, your house to get you on the internet were all over telephone lines that were regulated. So it obviously didn't affect the development of the internet. It's only been in the past 5 years, when the Bush FCC made this change, that we've got this incredible paradigm shift into deregulation. I mean, we look at it, frankly, as taking the conservative position that the Communications Act has regulated telecommunications according to some well-established principles since the 1930s, and has been able to keep up with all sorts of developments in network technology and usage and the growth of the internet. And there was no reason to do away with that.
Well, I mean, there was. I guess it was obviously AT&T's lobbying money. I mean, let me ask you this. How different is what is being voted on today, and it sounds like it will pass? How different is it from what Google and Verizon proposed?
Very similar. Very similar. The Google-Verizon agreement basically would have lifted a lot of the restrictions on wireless. As you know, Google and Verizon work together on a number of wireless projects. Some of the Verizon phones use Android.
Mm-hmm.
They're selling, which is the Google's operating system. And so they have a close relationship in the wireless space. So this tracks very closely not only what Google and Verizon wanted, but what AT&T wanted.
So if this becomes essentially the law of the land, what we can look forward to is Internet providers essentially throttling, in other words, allowing better access and a better ease of use for their own products that compete with third-party products. So, in other words, if you get your internet from Verizon, it's very likely someday in the future that the Verizon music service will work a lot better than, let's say, iTunes does.
And not only that, but there's another iteration, and that's that there's a third service which pays Verizon for preferable treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And so they get to come in ahead of everybody else. And if anybody else is a music service that you like, then you're out of luck twice, because you don't have the Verizon one, or you don't have this one that paid the cellular carrier for a place at the head of the line.
Or if I'm Clear Channel or Premier, their division of radio, and I want my radio to be streamed, maybe it would be much more difficult to get the Majority Report than it would be Glenn Beck's show or whomever's owned by Clear Channel.
That's true. All sorts of things are going to be possible. And the problem is that if you think there's a problem, then the individual person has to take a case to the FCC. engage attorneys, go through the complaint process. I mean, even though it's on a what they call a rocket docket, which is a, you know, a faster than usual proceeding, it's still going to be a monstrous pain for people to have to go to the commission to defend rights that they should be assumed to have in the first place.
Well, I mean, to be fair, most internet consumers have attorneys on retainer to deal with these things anyways.
I certainly do. I don't know about you.
No, believe me, I have a whole sea of attorneys. But let me ask you this. I want to be a little bit devil advocate here. The late Senator Stevens talked about how Netflix was piling everything on the tubes, and it's like pipe, and he can't get his email. Netflix uses a significant amount of bandwidth. Why is that not a problem? I mean, why shouldn't they be charged extra?
Netflix pays for every bit of bandwidth they use. That's the first thing. I have no idea what their telecommunications bills are, but I would bet they're in, you know, the millions of dollars a month. Secondly, not one bit of information goes out from a Netflix server unless it's requested by someone.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it would all just be sitting there. You have to, you know, push your button on your remote or on your laptop or on your computer and say, I want to see this movie before anything streams. So this is these are consumers, this is you and me, who want to watch movies or documentaries, whatever they have online, and this is how Netflix gets there in the first place. They don't send stuff out willy-nilly.
Now, is there a finite amount of bandwidth, or is bandwidth able to continually grow?
That's a real interesting question. When it comes to wired networks, it's probably infinite, because you have fiber networks and multiplexing and all sorts of technological stuff, which keep increasing the amount of bandwidth all the time. It's a lot more limited in the wireless world, although we hear that will be changing as the cellular companies start bringing on new technologies.
Right.
Now, you know, the problem of discrimination, though, isn't really dependent on bandwidth. All that is about is the simple prospect of playing fair. So fairness is eternal, whether it's talking about bandwidth in the wireless age or, as Tim Wu wrote in his book, something from the 15th century when the common carrier idea first started.
So let's assume today that this, what I consider fake net neutrality proposal, which people like everyone from Al Franken has said doing nothing would have been better than this proposal. Let's assume that this passes today, and it sounds like it's going to pass with the Democratic appointees as opposed to the Republican ones, because, of course, this is part of their they see this as socialism, et cetera, et cetera. But this is exactly what Marx had in mind when he started the revolution. And
right, now, what's interesting is the way the FCC counts votes. And just to get a little bit into that, it's not like when you count a vote, you're either for it or against it. They have a third way where you can concur, which is sort of like a half a vote in favor. And that's what Commissioner Copsa says he's going to do. So he's not gung-ho for it, but it's good enough that he'll let it go through.
Hmm. Well, what happens next? I mean, is this the end of it? I mean, if for those of us who think this is a really problematic proposal, do we have any hope?
Yes, but it'll take a while. What will probably happen is that after this goes through the process at the FCC, someone will take the FCC to court over this order. Everything the FCC does is taken to court, and then there's no reason to think this one won't be either. So then we'll have to wind through the whole authority question and the implementation questions, and probably be back right where we started in a couple, 3 years.
You know, my sense is this is really just kicking the can down the road, what you're suggesting here, because without Title II authority, it doesn't sound like the FCC can really do anything meaningful in this case.
You're absolutely right, and the Title II authority is something that we urge, that others urge, but the chairman of the FCC, Chairman Jenikowski, absolutely wouldn't touch it. I mean, it was clear when the U.S. Court of Appeals for D.C. back in April ruled on the Comcast case that they thought that the Title I authority that the FCC used was totally irrelevant and not to be used at all. They clearly opened the door for Title II. But there is massive opposition to Title II from the carriers who spend millions and millions of dollars calling this the Internet takeover and power grab and all these other things, and it just scared the FCC away.
Yeah, this is really such a shame. It really is such an incredible shame. And if I remember correctly, the FCC was sort of saying, like, well, we would rather this be a legislative fix. And Henry Waxman had to sort of do this kabuki theater where he was proposing something, and the Republicans wouldn't go along with it, and so he threw it back to the FCC, and they still basically punted. And so now we have another 3 years where this is going to develop, where, and then the argument in 3 years against the FCC switching to Title II will be, look at what we've developed. If you switch to Title II now and regulate this, we're going to stand to lose millions of dollars because we developed on, based upon our understanding of the laws as you had it, and now you're going to change it on us.
Right. Although, you know, what's interesting is that the people who make that argument are probably going to be the ones who are going to take it to court. So that'll be, you know, sort of the classic definition of chutzpah there, of, you know, pleading orphan difficulties when you kill your parents.
Well, there you go. All right, Art Brodsky, thank you so much for joining us from Public Knowledge. The vote, I guess people could watch it live right now. But
They can watch it off of C-SPAN or off of the FCC website. Commissioner McDowell, one of the more conservative commissioners, is speaking right now.
Okay, and so the vote should probably come the next hour or so.
Right.
All right, thanks very much, Art. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Sam.
All right, folks, we're going to take a brief break, and I will be back in just a moment. All right, we're back. Dorsey, I see you're doing some reading. Well, tell me, please.
Over at TPM, there's a story. Josh Marshall tweeted it out, the story that no one's talking about. And
you got to get right into that mic, buddy.
Pardon me. TPM has a story that no one's talking about, and it looks like Joe Bonner from Alabama, Republican rep, he ordered the Capitol Police to block the doors of the Ethics Committee offices for a week during partisan dispute over the handling of the ethics case against Representative Maxine Waters. And this happened last week. There, eight staffers were told not to come to work. Yeah, all this kind of weird stuff. Firings, people stepping down.
Weird.
Check it out. It's over at TPM. Interesting story. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Well, I'm glad you're listening to the show as opposed to just surfing the web, buddy. I mentioned this story briefly yesterday, and, you know, it bears mentioning again. According to Robert Kuttner, writing in Politico, that there is a strong push in the Obama administration to make cutting Social Security part of the State of the Union address. And this is just, I don't even know what to say. That's not good. What is arguably good, though, I don't know what it is. I must be reading like the, God knows what I'm reading these days. Like the upshot for me is I got that crazy. Remember that crazy lady I told you who was emailing me all the time, and I was going back and forth with her?
Yeah.
She is now sending. She's like, you know, occasionally she's like, you know, Obama, he's a corporatist, and then it's like, and he's also not really Obama. He's an imposter. What? Why would someone? What? That doesn't make any sense. He's not, his name's not really Obama. It's Frevrington. What? Why would someone think 40 years ago that, like, my name is Frevrington, but I want to become president of the United States? I know. I'll change my name to Obama. I'll take his identity.
It's more electable surname.
It's insane. And I got an email from her. And I didn't even open it, but I will ultimately. The subject line is,
even JFK knew about the Illuminati. So there you have it. But be that as it may, the Star Treaty looks like it's going to pass, and which is good. I mean, I think on balance, it's better than it not passing. However, Andrew Lichterman at the Western States Legal Foundation writes that the Star Treaty will have little effect on the material institutions of the arm race. Yeah, I guess you didn't know that we were still in an arms race. I mean, I don't know who we're racing against at this point, but...
it's like a time trial now. We're just going for personal best.
Yeah, exactly. And it's fueled by the people who... By, as Ike said, the military-industrial complex. Yeah. Or, as he originally had in his speech, the military-congressional-industrial complex. Did you not know that?
No, I didn't know that.
In the original version of his speech... It was the military-industrial-congressional, maybe it was, complex. And they took out congressional because they thought that might be just too much to sell to the American public. It turns out military and industrial and complex, that was also too much. Because now you're a dirty effing hippie if you say that. Now, of course, if you really are dirty effing hippie, that means you're eligible for two DVDs along with your membership the Majority Report. It will have only minimal effects on current nuclear weapons deployments and places no meaningful limit on the modernization of nuclear arsenals or the development of strategically significant weapon systems such as missile defense and conventional prompt global strike. Prompt global strike weapons with global reach. The principal purported benefits of New START, given that it requires only marginal arms reductions over 7 years, mainly fall into two areas. Resumption of on-the-ground verification measures and reestablishment of a negotiating framework for future arms reductions. In other words, there are two things that we get out of the START Treaty. One is you get on-the-ground inspections of these weapon systems, so you get a better sense of what's going on the ground. And two, you have a framework, sort of an understanding and definitions for which to go forward with new treaties. Now, this is a treaty that Reagan, you know, he didn't write it. He was napping when it was written, but it was under his tutelage. It was back at a time when, you know, Republicans were actually not completely insane. They were at least rational enough just to be, you know, governing for their own benefit, as opposed to now just like completely batshit crazy. And apparently, in return for this, you know, this isn't just negotiated with Russia. This is negotiated internally with the people who make these weapons, who stand to lose, right? I mean, that's what's happening here. Huh. So the weapons establishment, is getting essentially as a concession for the passage of START, for basically releasing these Republicans or Democrats, for all we know, with increases in weapons budgets and accelerated construction of new nuclear weapon facilities. So, Oh, did you see the great video that that Dorsey made? Let me see if I can play that right now. It's very short. And, I mean, you really do need to see it. Where is the best place to see it?
I have it on Facebook.
Is it on the Majority Reporter's Tumblr?
It is not.
Okay. I can go to the YouTube page, right?
Yes, it is there.
Folks, you should go to the YouTube page. You can go to samseder.com. You know what would be a great idea? Put a link on our website to that. That would be incredibly, that would be very impressive. Here it is. Let's play this right now for you. This is an animated video.
Hey, Jim the Mint.
Huh? What the?
It's me, Jesus.
Oh, Hello there, Jesus.
Do you know how I want to spend my birthday, Jim DeMint?
I don't understand.
My birthday is coming up. Do you know what is not cool?
No, Jesus. I don't.
Getting rid of nuclear weapons on my birthday, dude.
I knew it.
Yes. The last thing I want for my birthday is a safer world for the children. I mean, where's the fun in that?
I swear, Jesus, I knew this. I knew it. It is wrong to sign Reagan's peace treaty so close to a Christian holiday.
Exactly. Do I look Muslim to you?
No. Of course not. I am going to run to Capitol Hill right now and obstruct this nuclear disarmament treaty in the name of the Christmas spirit. See you later, Jesus.
Bye-bye, Jim DeMint. Sucker.
There you go. Performed beautifully by those animated figures. So, Star Treaty, I guess it's better than nothing. It seems like we cannot get an ounce of progress on anything without paying off the whatever industry is even remotely involved. Be that as it may, Haley Barbour won't be president in 2012. That's good news. Because he made the mistake of opening his mouth and revealing sort of just how racist he is. He had an interview with the Weekly Standard's Andrew Ferguson. And it's pretty funny. Ferguson's talking about two gentlemen who had told him that Yazoo City, this is presumably in Missouri, was perhaps the only municipality in Mississippi that managed to integrate the schools without violence. Haley Barbour, I think, was like 15 or 16 years old in the mid-60s. And so this guy, Andrew Ferguson, I asked Haley Barbour why he thought that was so. Because presumably, Barbour, this is where he came from. Because the business community wouldn't stand for it. You heard of the citizens' councils? Up north, they think it was like the KKK. Where I came from, it was an organization of town leaders. In Yazoo City, they passed a resolution that said anybody who started a chapter of the Klan would get their ass run out of town. If you had a job, you'd lose it. If you had a store, they'd see nobody shop there. We didn't have a problem with the Klan in Yazoo City. Now, this citizens' councils was basically a sort of like the KKK with a tie is really the way to. This is a something from a pamphlet that they put out. Why does your community need a citizens' council? Maybe your community has no racial problems. This may be true. However, you may not have a fire yet. You maintain a fire department. You can depend on one thing. The NAACP, National Association for the Agitation of Colored People, aided by alien influences, block vote-seeking politicians, and left-wing do-gooders, will see that you have a problem in the near future. The Citizens Council is the South's answer to mongrelizers. We will not be integrated. We are proud of our white blood and our white heritage of 60 centuries. So, I mean, I guess you could say that they were the town leaders and they were the KKK. Both statements could be accurate. And in 1955, in August, in Yazoo City, the city citizens council, members of this city, fired signers of an integration petition, which, you know, this is according to David Halberstam, why 51 of the 53 black people who had signed the integration petition withdrew their names, because they were getting fired if they did so. So this is what he would consider a just town leaders. Now, I can understand if you're 15 or 16, you don't really fully understand that. Although, I think 15 or 16 is actually pretty old and sophisticated, but even if I can give them the benefit of the doubt, you know, by the time you get to like 17, 18, 19, 20, you know, you still have a sense of what's going on in your town, and you look back and it sort of revises your opinion. But he went on to say, Barber doesn't have much to say about growing up in the midst of the Civil Rights Revolution. I just don't remember it as being that bad, he said. I remember Martin Luther King came to town in 62. He spoke out at the old fairground. It was full of people, black and white. Like, it doesn't occur to him, like, I remember why I don't think it was that bad at that time. Because I was white. Because it wasn't bad for me.
It just seems so stupid.
Gotcha. He does?
Yeah.
Well, or he's just, you know, I mean, let's be honest. The Republican Party is still very much built on the electoral strategy of, we're not going to get any black votes, but we'll get as much of the white vote as possible. Yeah. And the way that we can get the majority of the white vote is a combination of scaring them because, you know, hippie bra burners are coming. And they're being, you know, driven by black people or whatever it is. And that's their strategy, and he's sticking to it. I just don't remember it being that bad. I remember we went to the movies, and we could go to the malt shop. And I never, ever saw a single black person complain. You know, we'd go up and go to the drinking fountain. I never even saw a black person try and come up. It was as if they saw some type of sign that said, coloreds, not to drink at this fountain. Pretty astonishing. So kudos to Haley Barber. He will not be president in 2012. Frankly, if I was a... if I was a corporatist or a part of that military-industrial complex, I don't think I would have a problem with Obama at this point. Because you get your cake and eat it too, right? Mm-hmm. You can complain this guy's a socialist, and then all he does is either guarantees you 20, 30 million new insurance customers or an ability to shut down part of the web and hold it hostage, or on and on and on. But Obama's very fortunate because those on the right wing are completely, completely... Tea Party Nation founder, according to Talking Points Memo. You ready for this? Tea Party Nation founder Judson Phillips has a dream in response to the failure of the DREAM Act. He wrote on his blog, I have a dream, all caps. First sign of a crazy person. First sign of a crazy person. I have a dream. That is, no more United Methodist Church. Felix explains that he was formerly a member of that church, and he left because it's, quote, the first church of Karl Marx, and little more than the religious arm of socialism. I guess it's the communists that outlawed religion, right?
Yeah.
There's a famous Methodist church, I think, up in the uptown, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Methodist church is pro-illegal immigration. They have been in the bag for socialist health care, going as far as sending out emails to the membership debunking the myths of Obamacare. Say, where are the liberal complaints on the separation of church and state? Well, I think it's perfectly fine for churches to talk about politics,
mm-hmm.
particularly issues, as opposed to like stumping for certain candidates. But in short, if you hate America, you have a great future in the Methodist Church. That's what he wrote. He has recently argued, this guy Phillips, that it's a wise idea to let only property owners vote.
The same guy.
Yep. He's also defended an email he wrote calling for supporters to help retire Representative Keith Ellison because he's the only Muslim member of Congress. So, you know, these guys are a twofer, I think, for the right wing in this country. They both sort of like captured the imagination of the mainstream press, and essentially widened the playing field to you know, to anybody who's like literally not drooling, anybody who's capable of chewing gum and farting at the same time is essentially considered a liberal, just by the fact that you're not drooling all over yourself. This is good news. New Jersey, according to David Dayan, New Jersey judge could freeze all state foreclosures. Chief Justice of the New Jersey Supreme Court, Stuart Rabner, has set a meeting on January 19th, which could lead to a suspension of foreclosures for all of the state's leading services. Judge Rabner basically wants the servicers to show cause for why foreclosure processes should not be suspended. Now, this is great, of course, because it puts the onus on them to prove that their documents are not fraudulent. Judge Mary C. Jacobson has been designated by Judge Rabner to hear this case. This is from the press release from the New Jersey Supreme Court. For judges to sign an order foreclosing on a person's home, they must first be able to rely on the accuracy of documents submitted by lenders. That step is critical to the integrity of the judicial process. You'll remember Matt Taibbi came on, talked about these, what were they? Not pump them and dump them, squeeze them and cheese them, sign them and fine them. I mean, it was these little ad hoc courts set up to basically just pump out 25 foreclosures an hour, where the judges, they just, oh, I see you've got a monkey that wrote this. As long as there are papers here and there's nobody here to question, kick them out of their house. Just completely set up to service the mortgage servicers. And meanwhile, here's an interesting story. And you know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to try this. I happen to have a BOFA. Bank of America mortgage. And you remember there was that Where's My Note push? Mm-hmm. I think it was wheresmynote.com. I think it's still up. It was a push by, I think, the SEIU and the Color of Change. And it basically said to the bank, send them a letter, hey, do you guys have my note? Because of all the different transfers and because of the systems they use, nobody seems to know who owns whose mortgage. And a lot of people sent in a letter that just said, I just want to confirm that you hold my note. Where is it? I want to see it. Well, apparently what Bank of America is doing is they are then putting on your credit report that you are disputing the loan.
Whoa.
Which obviously is a flag for potential loaners. And in one case, in Arizona, Representative Michelle Reagan, Republican, District 8, is being sued by her mortgage company after she questioned who owned the note on her home. Reagan wanted to find out if she and her husband could refinance their South Scottsdale home. In doing research, I began to wonder if the lender even owned the note to my home, she said. So I sent them a letter and asked them several things. I want to know who owns my property. Am I paying the right person? Soon after, Colonial Savings filed a lawsuit in U.S. District Court against Reagan and her husband. The company says the couple is trying to, quote, rescind their home loan or back out of the loan. She said, we're not interested in walking. We're not interested in saying we're not going to pay. We just need a little help with the interest rate. I'm current on my loan. I never missed payment. We've never been late. We're sued for asking too many questions. Very interesting. I may call them and record it. But, you know, knowing me, what will happen is I'll get a mediocre recording out of it, and then I'll my credit rating will get shot to shit. And then you guys won't get paid. So if you guys give me the thumbs up, I'll do it. This story you undoubtedly know, but let's hit it anyways. New study out, worldpublicopinion.org. And a very strange way that it was written up in New York Times. Here's the headline. Study. Some viewers were misinformed by TV news. What do you think this story is about? I'm not gonna. You know what it is about, Dorsey. Don't say anything. Evan, what do you think it's about? Study. Some viewers were misinformed by TV news.
Oh, man. I have no idea.
Well, just tell me what your impression is of that.
Given what those stories usually are about, I'm going to say it's about a dog or something.
Well, don't get that crazy. Just give me a sense of what that headline says to you. Don't read too much into it.
All right. I don't know. Something about the minutiae of the home loan situation.
Okay. Fair enough. Worldpublicopinion.org. Managed by a program on international policy attitudes at the University of Maryland, did a study that showed, I don't know, conclusively is the right word, but overwhelmingly, that if you watch Fox News, and the more you watch Fox News, the more misinformed you become on a wide array of stories. And the funny thing about the way that Brian Stetler wrote this article in the New York Times is, I mean, there's just like case after case after case after case with Fox. There's one instance on MSNBC, regular viewers of MSNBC were 34% more likely than non-viewers to believe that it was proven that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce was spending money raised from foreign sources to support Republican candidates. And I think that, you know, I think Rachel or Keith made a point about this. Well, the only thing that's actually proven is that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce raises money from overseas, from foreign sources, and spent money in support of Republican candidates. So, and they will not reveal any of the details of that. So, it's like saying, you know, hey, I going up to your bank teller and saying, you know, I deposited $25 cash yesterday. I'd like that $25 back, please. And they give you $25. You go, excuse me, this is not my $25. Yes, it is, sir. Here it is. Here's your $25. No. I deposited a 20 and a 5. Okay, here you go, sir. Here's a 20 and a 5. No. It was serial number T0003. Because money's not fungible, right? But that had to be put, you know, that was there for balance. Again, you know, like you can't even report the truth. Almost daily viewers of Fox News were 31 points more likely to mistakenly believe that most economists have estimated the health care law will worsen the deficit. So there's no shading here. This is basically, you know, saying like daily viewers of Fox News tend to believe that 2 plus 2 is 3. They were 30 points more likely to believe that most scientists do not agree that climate change is occurring. That, again, this is like you can statistically measure this. You know, it's one thing to say that climate change is not occurring based upon that there are some scientists who say that climate change is not occurring because, you know, scientists is a very general term, and there are people out there who are willing to say it on behalf of the Exxon or whatever. They were 14 points more likely to believe that the stimulus legislation did not include any tax cuts. I wonder if they had asked, you know, A, B, or C. Stimulus included 40% tax cuts, 10% tax cuts, 0% tax cuts, 80% tax cuts, what people would say. You know what the answer is?
No, I want to say 40.
Good for you, Evan. It is 40. You win a cookie. Not a real cookie, because that would have to be purchased.
I'm keeping track of these
cookies. You win a metaphorical cookie. A free cookie. 13 points more likely to believe the auto bailout only occurred under Obama. 12 points more likely to believe that when TARP came up for a vote, most Republicans opposed it. 31 points more likely to believe it's not clear that Obama was born in the United States. The more you watch Fox, the dumber you get. I'm paraphrasing. The study actually says these effects increase incrementally with increasing levels of exposure and were all statistically significant. But in other words, that is, the more you watch Fox, the dumber you become. Absolutely fascinating. And, of course, you know, part of this is because the top Fox News officials, several memos have come out in the past month or so showing that these guys willfully, actively tell their employees, stop being so truthful. It's not the public option. It's the government option. It's not a public park. It's a government park. Climate change is not settled. All right, folks. It's that time. Meet me on the other side. You can IM me at Majority FM. The next couple days will not be new shows, but they will be exciting shows. And again, if you can afford to become a member, much appreciated. You keep this show alive. I will be doing filling in for Keith Olbermann on Monday night, on Tuesday night, on Wednesday night. We will be back live on Tuesday. Check it out. If you tune in to see me on Olbermann, it does make a difference. Those cable boxes know what you're doing, folks. Even when they're turned off. Okay, I am me on the other side. Have a great holiday, folks. I mean, I'll say have a great holiday when I do some intros on the podcast this week. But maybe I'll do like a couple of minutes from Michigan if it's not too busy. Talk to you. Let's go right to those IMs, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see. David Hisroom, FCC meeting to end net neutrality in BAP. I know, it's like one of the saddest days of my life. Well, yeah. Tough to get a break. Wingbeth, yesterday's second half monologue. Bravo, and thank you for being both awesome and intelligent. Did we post that? What are you talking about? Wingbeth.
Sorry, I was doing something. What was the question?
Nobody ever hears my compliments. It's like that Freddie Prinze movie. Nobody ever can't hear the laughter. Do you know what I'm not talking? You don't know what I'm talking about.
I missed that movie. Which one is that?
Freddie Prinze, you know,
I know who he is.
Chico and the Man? Not that Freddie Prinze.
Not it's the Junior?
Right.
Oh, no. He had a cool tuxedo the last time I saw a picture of that guy.
Freddie Prinze was a comedian, and then you know he committed suicide because he couldn't hear the laughter.
I see.
That's according to the movie. Got my signed Avant. Got my signed MR mousepad. Thanks. It goes up on the Wall of Fame with Marin and Ken Jones. Watched RestoPro last night on Netflix streaming. Great documentary. Though be prepared to be both depressed and pissed when the movie is over. Fantastic. I don't have enough to depress me these days. I don't have enough to depress me. No. Milo's been pretty funny, though, lately. I told you the thing where she said, I bet. That's it. Lila came home the other day, and she was like, some of the kids aren't being nice to me. I'm, you know, this saying they hate me or they're being bullying. And I said, you know, Milo, Saturday night, I said, you know, after, you know, you can talk to us about this stuff and it's okay. And how do you want us to handle it? Maybe we'll talk to the teacher, et cetera, et cetera. I said, you know, when I was, because, you know, people are going to find this hard to believe. But when I was a kid, I was a little bit obnoxious and a little bit of a contrarian. And I didn't necessarily fit into the groups. If there was a group, almost by its very nature, I would have a problem. You know, I just didn't like to be part of a group. Now, I know this has got to be extremely difficult for people to accept about me. But so I said to Mila, I said, you know, Mila, and you know, kids don't like that. And I said, Mila, you know, when I was in kindergarten, when I was in first grade, I had a lot of trouble getting along with other kids. There was a lot of kids who said that they didn't like me too. And she looks at me and she goes, I bet. And walks away. And I'm just sitting there like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. She didn't just, I said, what? What did you say? And she turns around and she goes, I said, I bet. I'm like, do you know what that means? She goes, uh-huh. And walked away. Couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. Make sure to pour tons of candied marshmallow sauce on your chicken pot pie that you'll be sharing this in Michigan this weekend. Enjoy your holiday with the Gentiles. Thank you. Shanksoft. Census politics. Yeah, the census numbers are not going to help Democrats. And because a big part of the reason is because Republicans won so many state houses, and they get to do the redistricting. And so when you have migrations from like Rust Belt states like Pennsylvania or, you know, upstate New York or parts of New York, I should say, and they migrate to like the Arizonas and whatnot, those states lose congressional seats, which is problematic, you know, in terms of like electoral votes. But it also, the legislatures can basically do a lot of gerrymandering, and that's what's going to happen. So, yeah, not good. Zach Punk, this is also an infrastructure issue. We need to invest more in nationwide networks to increase bandwidth. Absolutely. You know, when I lived upstate full time, it became even clearer to me that where they really need broadband is out there, because, you know, there's so much business that you should be able to do without having to get into your car, your truck, and driving for an hour. And service couldn't be crappier up there. Todd Slater, Social Security cuts. I think those who oppose this possibility, particularly those in Congress, really need to start doing some serious branding. It seems to me that all you need to do is point out to people that because of this crap, someone who makes $150 million pays the same amount to the fund as someone who makes $150,000. I would guess that 90% of the average voting public doesn't know this. Make it common knowledge and you kill the social cuts easily, I would think. Bumper sticker can say, raise the cap. Am I crazy? Well, Todd, here's the... You didn't sign my mouse pad. I asked for it signed. Can I send it back to you with a paid return envelope? Yes. I'm sorry. I meant to, if you asked. We didn't write it down properly. Glad everybody's getting all their stuff already, though.
Yeah,
that's good.
That's quick.
Another batch went out this morning. Like I say, if you're in Canada, it's going to be a little bit slow. I'm talking to you, Sonny. Sonny J, and I'm talking to you, Black Squirrel. The problem is, Todd, not that you need to convince Americans. 70% of Americans say no cuts to Social Security. But David Broder and the other millionaires in Washington, they believe in shared sacrifice, which means that you need to have the sacrifice. And millionaires, what they're going to do is
they're going to sacrifice by calling for sacrifice, because that takes that. That may make you less popular. You need to expend statesmanshiphood on that. By calling for shared sacrifice, what I am giving is my service. I'm giving my service to you. I am loaning you the heft of my voice, the rationality that I project, the lack of partisanship that you see on both sides. Those crazy liberals on the left saying that they don't want cuts to Social Security. 70% also who agree with that. And then the people on the right who believe that Social Security is socialism. So in the middle, it's we just cut Social Security and redistribute that money in retrospect to the wealthy. And my sacrifice to you is speaking frankly, which is very uncomfortable for me. Don't be a putz. I would like to request that during your stint hosting Countdown, you use the French pronunciation of John Bonnaire's name.
I like that idea.
You have to do it. If the Republicans can change the Democratic Party into Democrat Party, then why can't we turn Bonnaire and Boehner into Bonnaire?
Well, I mean, and Matthews gets to say Cheney and tell everybody that that's the proper way, even though everybody else says Cheney. So, I mean, what are they going to do?
Well, I know, but Cheney isn't quite the same as Boehner.
He always has some kind of good excuse.
I used to call Frist, Bill Frist. After Schiavo, I called him Bill Freist. And somebody told me that Amy Goodman's, you know, come on the show, but she never mentioned this to me, but somebody told me who worked over there. Like, Amy Goodman came in the other day and said, like, why does Sam Cedar insist on calling Bill Frist Bill Freist? I would love to call him Bonnaire. And I actually, to be honest with you, I live in fear that I will read it and I will say that.
As long as you don't emphasize it, you might be able to get away with it.
Well, I would have to say, I would go, John Bonnaire, excuse me, Boehner. I would have to do it that way. Yeah. I'd have to do it that way.
Oh, man. That would, I mean, you get a kick. You get a kick out of the chat rooms that watch MSNBC.
Yeah, I don't know, though. I don't think. Frankly, I don't know if I was Keith, I would appreciate it.
Yeah.
That's something I could do on my own show. I could do that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Which is not happening. I should make clear that that's not happening.
I mean, this is the show.
Right. No, this is the show I say Bonnaire. And I think I would probably say that like on Ring of Fire. I would say, are you sure it's not Bonnaire? Nah, I'm sorry. I had a lot of French Canadians from Worcester. Are you aware that the video was never posted of Dylan Radigan's segment yesterday where you questioned if Obama ever meant to act upon his campaign promises? Frankly, I doubt his intentions throughout the primaries and the presidential election. Herbalaz. I was not aware of that. Can you get that? Or it's only, I don't know.
It's not on MSNBC?
According to this person. But, you know, I've had people told me, Don told me that my Oberman wasn't on MSNBC, and it is.
Yeah, I was going to say, they can't.
They don't post a lot of Radigan stuff.
They don't.
But
you never know.
If somebody has a copy of it, that'd be great. I forgot to make a copy.
Because,
you know, I wore that lighter sport jacket. And I may try and break it up on Olbermann. It's a big issue for me because, when you see me in a tie and a jacket, understand it's always a prop. There's never a time like, hey, I wear that to work. No. I doubted his intentions throughout the primaries and the presidential campaign. I always said that it was just, you know, I wasn't counting on him to be a certain way and that it was a bet. And he just seemed like the best bet. I preferred to
to be honest with you, Edwards, by the time the primary hit New York, Edwards was not an issue. I think even frankly, by the time the primary hit New York, I don't even know that there was any issue. Clinton lost it early when she lost Iowa, essentially. When she showed an air of vulnerability as a candidate, she lost it. Now, look, I would now say that it was a bet that I lost the bet. That doesn't mean that the odds weren't more in favor of Obama. They were, but I lost the bet. I don't think that Hillary Clinton would necessarily be any better, but I am convinced she would not be any worse at this juncture. But that's because, you know, Obama ended up picking Clinton's economic team. And, you know, Mark Penn, horrible. Horrible. And, you know, this is her closest advisor. So, you know, the real problem is that we had shitty choices. And that's too bad. Now, you know, it's been suggested to me that maybe people knew that Hillary was going to be more aggressive liberally. Maybe that's why she ran to the right of Obama, or Obama ran to the left of her. I mean, that's just a fact. You know, I think her biggest mistake was not repudiating her vote. I think she felt that she needed to maybe maintain that for the general election. It was a miscalculation. But what are you going to do, folks? Move forward. That's what I say. Into the bunker. Majority follower, are you going to continue making that bullshit? I live in the land of jackass Neil Bortz. My choice for congressman is the blue dog, which doesn't support fair tax versus fair tax Republican. Oh, the blue dog, which doesn't support fair tax versus the fair tax Republican. It would be nice the next time my coworker says to me, give fair tax a chance, I could just say that's bullshit and point them to the web. That's a good idea. Will you write that down, Dorsey?
Yeah.
Fair tax? I'll have a little time when I'm in Michigan to maybe write a couple of these things, and that would be good to do, actually. You know what? Actually, that would be really good. People, email me at majorityreporters@gmail.com with a suggestion of a topic. Try and keep it broad, like a broad meme out there that you want to see debunked. You know, fair tax is a good one. Why is the fair tax bullshit? Social Security's going bankrupt. Maybe I should just do a very explicit one on that. You know what? Yes, perfectly timed. Somebody send me an email to remind me. I'll write three of these things. We'll freaking pump them out. Right?
Yes.
Okay, Jit. Hi, Sam. Just got my mouse pad, but you didn't sign it. You did request to sign the mouse pad? Who fucked up, guys?
Let me look in the document.
Well, you'll
Does
find
this
out
mean we're not getting pizza?
I think you guys are only going to get a quarter towards the dollar lunch today. Okajik, send an email. Wait a second. Send me an email. Don't be a putz. I just saw I am hilarious. You ready for this? This is so good. Can you do a special comment and then play a clip of Beat Cops? Oh, shit. That's too good. That's really funny. And if you don't understand that, I will not. I'm not even going to tell you. Harold, have a great weekend. You should really try Arbor Brewing. Their mascot is a six-legged cow. Hindi, Buddhist, good beer regardless. We'll be watching next week. Break a leg. Thanks. Jack Seed, how come there is no audio on Ustream? Because we neglected to turn it on.
Yep.
Dude, you got to write a master list.
Will do.
I've been saying this for weeks. It's too hard to remember these things. It is. Believe me. I know.
The problem is we have 8 master lists. We need a master list of master lists.
That's what I mean. You got to write a master list. You know, write a list of what to do. Dorsey sort of has one.
I just put big things on the board that say big words like take out the trash before 4. That's how I remember things.
Right. You should just tape it right onto that big computer right there. Guy from Silent Hill is a dirty, hip, and Canadian, but non-native French speaker. I must congratulate you on your French pronunciation and accent. Did you take lessons? Merci. Je étudie français en l'école. Un petit peu. You want to hear a great accent? You should hear Myla do gibberish Spanish. We went in for the kids' breakfast yesterday. Kindergarten breakfast. And Myla's been doing this all the time, and I really now get it. Like, her teacher speaks half the class in Spanish. And so, she'll, randomly say stuff in Spanish. Myla, the first couple of days, school came to me and said, Josephine speaks to me in Spanish. I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't understand anything she's saying. And now she just accepts that she doesn't understand it. And she's slowly, we keep reading La Cupercita Rojo, which is
something that's red.
Little Red Riding Hood. And she's starting to pick up on all this stuff. And I'm starting to understand it. The more you read it, because you know the story, and you start to figure it out. But her teacher, was just telling the kids to do something. I couldn't, but she was just and Myla comes home from school and literally just walks around going, with a Spanish accent. And it's fantastic. And she could be saying stuff, or she could just be talking gibberish. I have no idea. No idea. But it's fun because she'll, I'll go, what do you say? And she'll just say, gracias. Por favor. Gracias. De nada. Bluger, when in Michigan, see if you can find out why Michigan swung Republican in the 2010 election. Well, because it's a fucking, it's like walking on the moon there now. I mean, the economy just destroyed that place. I will talk about the General Motors, though. That's actually a very good, yeah, it's weird. It's very weird. Oh. Sugar77, if you're looking for a hilarious documentary, check out The Beautiful Truth on Netflix streaming. It follows one teen study of Dr. Gerson therapy. Reminds me of Marin's dad, part Alex Jones scaremongering, part hippie anti-factory farming, part rubbing castor oil all over your body. The Beautiful Truth. Send me an email about that, will you? J. David Lara, 2 questions. Why do you dislike New Jersey, and why not take calls through Skype, or is that not practical? My dad used to always complain about New Jersey drivers.
It's fair.
And, it's because that stretch of 95 smells.
Yeah, but that's like a quarter mile.
Yeah, what are you going to do? I don't dislike New Jersey. I just, it's a whipping boy.
It totally, by the way, says mouse pad sign for Okajik.
Really?
Yeah. Sorry, Okajik.
Sorry, buddy.
But Dorsey, we're getting a full pizza slice today.
Why not take calls through Skype, or is that not practical? Well, the problem is that I guess it's conceivable, but I just don't think that it makes it much harder, frankly, because if I have to actually sort of work all those devices, work the Skype and whatnot, take the calls and... it could also easily just get out of hand. I mean, it would be nice to be able to screen them and have them in...
We can't stack on Skype.
We can't stack on Skype. And, you know, I want people to be able to call from their phones. I want to make the people who call in as non-self-selected as possible. I mean, obviously, if you decide to call, you're self-selecting. But if we narrow that to like people who can use Skype, it becomes that much harder. I have a Google number. We could use that, and maybe we'll go to that eventually. But for the time being, we're waiting on a technology which could be just around the corner. Reapportionment, Torsi. Obama loses 6 electoral votes from 08, but thanks to Colorado, there's still a path to 270 without winning Virginia, Ohio, Florida, the second district in Nebraska, Indiana, or North Carolina. Trip, how about the closet door? What about it? Oh, did he... Didn't Mike Rogers say that he was meeting with a lawyer today or about Lindsey Graham? Is that story out? Is that what you're talking about? Oh, on Countdown. Highly doubtful. Kevin Semicolon, I'll be sure to tell my mom about your upcoming Countdown. She thinks you're a cutie. Well, son... Film Fest guy, thank you. Happy holidays to you too, Will. Hey, Sam, Joe Belinsky, am I the only one having audio problems over the last 10 to 15 minutes? In and out, choppy, net neutrality already over. Well?
Everything seems fine at this end.
Yes, yeah. I think you are. That would be my guess. Upbeat Nihilist, please send me a copy of Bad Situationist for my swag. Janine's "This is really happening" line has become a staple around my household, especially with my kids, which brings no end of enjoyment. Oh, wow. That's very exciting to me. Upbeat Nihilist, send me an email. Let us know, you know, who you are, and we'll do. Somebody else told me that their favorite line was when Benjamin says, Mikkel has the internet, as one of the radical Orthodox Jewish postal. Have you not watched any of those DVDs?
I've watched Bad Situationist.
That one. That's the one I'm talking about.
Sorry, I'm
trying should to watch Caboose those. And Pilot Season. You'll enjoy it. Evan, have you watched any of those?
I watched half of Bad Situationist.
Oh, that's always a great sign.
I definitely am something interested in Pilot, up? Or well, not Pilot, the...
Who's the Caboose?
Cop huh? Show. What is
oh,
it?
Yeah. Beat
Cops?
Beat Cops. I gotta see those.
Yeah, those guys. You like that. Gulfstream 2. Have a safe trip to Michigan and a great break. Gulfstream was responsible for getting us a Sam Cedar show. And Gulfstream, if you have any more of the book shows, could you send them to me? That would be helpful. I just sent you a special 2-day delivery on some mouse pads so that you would have it in time for Christmas. I didn't forget you. Oh, he disconnected. I'm not talking to anybody. It's the way my life goes. I'm happy now. There are really great apps on the iPad for language for kids, Sam. Iris is learning both languages through them, some Chinese too. Wow. That laugh was what that whale in. Spanish sounds like... What? Spanish sounds like vagina? She loves that. Okay. You need more squeak on your closet door. I don't have an iPad. If you have some apps for iPhone, send me an email. Suggest them. Or tell me them right now. Because, you know, I... Get an iPad. we're going to wait for things to pick up around here a little bit more before I can go out and get an iPad. Noble Baker, have people IM you through Skype and you call them. Yeah, again, it's just, that's a very, yeah, I mean, there are ways to do it. Yeah, we're just hoping for a more straightforward way because then people need to have Skype and they need to IM me. You know, you'd be surprised how many people email me and say, I don't know how to work IM.
People should know we're working on a system.
Well, people, you people should know we're working on a system.
Yeah. Thanks, Sam.
Oh, right. Okay. You did send me four total, and I think I have all four of those. I'll double check, but thank you, Gulfstream. I'm happy now. You can't tell me a first of all, if I get an iPad, well, we have a technology freeze going on, a non-work-related technology freeze. Let me put it that way. Although I could use an iPad, it would be very helpful for me because I read so much. But Milo would end up using it all the time anyway, so I have to get two iPads. Well, I could get the cheap one for her. She doesn't need to be connected. She's got my mouse pad. Okay, Michigan went Republican because all the union members lost their jobs and died hungry and impoverished. Thanks. I just sent another email requested it. Don't be a putz. Can you do a special? Okay, between Milo's song "John Benjamin Has Diarrhea" and "I Bet" story, I'm beginning to wonder if Milo's your kid or Sarah Silverman's. Todd Slater audio is fine there. Okay, when you sequester the show, we plan on offering it to the members on podcast because I would hate to miss it when my stupid job makes me. Oh yeah. We're going to be sequestering soon. We're still working on that. But, yes, if you remember, you will receive the post-show both live and on podcast. Yes, you will receive it in many different ways, any kind of way you would like. All right, folks, have a great holiday. There will be shows. I think you'll enjoy them. And good day. Good day. Please be safe if you're traveling. Lay off that candied candy. Candied brownies. I can't wait to have those. Talk to you soon. I wasn't looking when I just got caught. But see the truth in a light bulb. But finding out won't make me feel any better. Yeah, I know the clock is ticking. But the meds are gonna kick in. And my pilot. Choice is made for the option.